AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And as you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, and then sit back, relax, and enjoy, because we're going to have a great, great broadcast for you. And I also want to remind you that when you go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, you can listen live from anywhere in the world simply by clicking on the Listen Live link. If you're after our broadcast, you can click on the Listen Anytime link, and you'll be able to hear rebroadcasts from today, as well as last week and many, many months before that, on the entire list of the broadcasts that we have up there. We have all of our latest photos up on the internet site, so check them out. And also, this is National Small Business Weekend coming up, which is always the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month. So check that out. Click on that link. Email it to your business member, families, or whatever, and let them know. Send it out to their business friends so that everybody participates in the National Small Business Weekend effort, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. If you receive the broadcast and the email, send it out to someone right now and invite them to tune in. Well, our panel is together today on this historic day in the world of politics. Our panel members are Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, and Mark is preparing for a very big event on Saturday, May the 21st, as he prepares to open up his brand new store. We'll be talking about that later in today's broadcast. And also with us is Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, and Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash, always proud to be here with you. And I want to say, everywhere I go, I meet with people that listen to the program, whether it's on the radio, on the internet. They have a lot of positive things. We have our favorites, some like Rich, some like Mark, some like Larkin, some like everybody involved. And that's good to hear that, because, you know, sometimes we hear from people, but they don't want to say too much in public with their friends and all, but they're getting a lot more encouragement to do that as they listen to this broadcast and several other broadcasts that are now really starting to shake up the United States of America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're certainly living in historic times, and I hope that the upcoming presidential election will not be negative in the future, because America needs hope. We need action to restore our jobs for the American people, and we've been watching so much of this taking place in the last few months. I never thought that it would get this good, but it gets better every day of the week. Now, I'm saying that because what happens in the national election is going to help businesses. For the first time, people seeking the highest office in the country, in the world, are talking about jobs. In the past, they talked about jobs, but they never really had any specifics. After the election, they just closed the door at the White House and just went on with business as usual. But this time around, it's a little different. And that's good, and that is mainly because of people like yourself who are contacting national elected officials, going to our site. We have a link right on the front page, and you can contact. It has all the information, their address, email, phone number. Don't hesitate to call. Remember, these people work for you. You don't work for them. They work for you. They use our tax dollars. People are going out to the voting booths like never before. I hope that the negative ads and all will go away, and we'll be speaking of real bread and butter issues, because that's what we're going to need to restore jobs in America, to restore our economy. And I'm going to be asking some of our panelists today for some of their inputs. If they were ready to interview Hillary and Trump today, what would be some of the questions that they would ask? But first, I want to welcome our panel. Let's start off today with Rich. And how are you enjoying all that's been happening?
Oh, good morning, guys. Good morning to our listeners. Thank you, Michael. You just said it, Michael, right at the outset, what we've been saying. I do believe that we are witnessing historic times. And my rallying cry and encouragement, as much as I humanly can muster, is to try to talk to people to ensure that we come out on the right side of that history, on the correct side of that history. And I have, you know, I have, Michael, the vast majority of my clients are business owners, companies, small business owners. And these people, Michael, we all have the same concerns about things. And ultimately, you know, I'm going to come back to what Mark always says about working 100 hours a week so you don't have to work 40 hours a week. The small business owner is, and small businesses, including the people in the organization, you know, they're truly the engine that drives our economy. And the people, part of that group, that large group right now in the country, Michael, they have the same fears and concerns, the sleepless nights on how to make payroll and what's next month going to look like. And some are doing great, Michael. You know, God bless them. Some of our clients are doing great. Many are finding themselves, though, in very volatile and precarious situations. So ultimately, a more thriving, more booming, more mobile economy presents more opportunity for small business. And ultimately, that's really all we can want, right, Michael, is to have more opportunity, more inquiries, more of the phone ringing. So I think that as we're coming into the election, and we've got, you know, like down here in Florida, Michael, I've got a U.S. Senate election where Marco Rubio is not running for re-election. We have Deborah Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC. She's my congresswoman. There's an election in our congressional district. So I'm trying to pay attention to both the national as well as the local, because Larkin's right about this point. You know, Larkin is right about the point that what happens on the state and local levels is just as, if not more, important on the national level. Now, having said that, I would also like to offer, Michael, that I think by this point, as we are today, here and now, I think the general election essentially started last night. And so because it started last night, and because, to his credit, the head of the RNC went public with his Twitter message to say that I think the presumptive nominee is now decided. So I think, to his credit, it was good of him to, I hope, finally put to rest all of this chatter about contested conventions. So that means that people can now, I hate to use this term, but essentially pick their side. And maybe some, Michael, are not going to pick either side, and they're going to go a different route, which is fine. That's their prerogative.
But, Rich, here is where I want to say that is going to be up to people like us to urge every one of them to get out, because if anything we need, it's 100% of the registered voters voting, whatever they decide. We're watching right now the will of the people be shown at the voting booth for the first time in many, many years. And I hope that no negative ads will be necessary in the future, that we go to the bread and butter issues. What are we going to do to make America better? What are we going to do to restore our jobs, respect for one another, help our families to go up, not down? We have to show that we care for one another more than ever. We have to promote new access to livelihoods. As Mark always says, livelihoods are the most important thing to all of us. When you have a livelihood, you feel good about yourself. We really need to return to being a land of prosperity, not a country filled with sorrow, loss of jobs, social problems, rising debt. That's all we've heard for years and years and years. In the last 7-8 years, we doubled our national debt. And there was very little focus upon it.
Can I just make a comment on that, Michael? And I'd like to defer to Mark and Larkin after this. As I see what's happening now, and again, I'm going to do what Larkin does. I'm going to put my pundit hat on here. I always like to joke. I'm just the idiot sitting in South Florida. But I'd like to think that I look at these things objectively. And I do believe what's happening with the Republican turnout is you're seeing a response to two things. First is a response against what I call and sum up a statement that some find offensive, but I just don't know how else, Michael, to say it, against the radical progressive left, which runs on a platform of transformation, transforming the country. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I hear the word transform, like right now I'm saying it to you and my heart rate spiked, like my blood pressure just spiked as I said the word transform the country. So you've got, Michael, that. So this is a direct response to that. Now, it's also a response to the so-called opposition Republican Party that the irony of this is it's in the sort of rejection against established Republican ideology, the Republican Party has an incredible opportunity to bring in new voters, Michael, because the vast majority of the country, whether they like Trump or not, I do believe the vast majority of the country actually relates very much to his message when he talks about trade and the borders and national security, and as I call it, the new dirty word, sovereignty. If George Carlin, the great George Carlin, were alive today, he would add the word sovereignty to his dirty word list. So I really think what you're seeing is a turnout, an impassioned, urgent turnout based on those two things, Michael. So the Republican Party, they've got a chance to bring in so many new voters. And it always comes down to what? Turnout. So I can't speak for our local elections, Larkin, and the state elections, and I can't speak for the whole country, but I'll tell you that nationally, I think that with the bigger the turnout that we can get, the more, when we talk about small business and sovereignty, national security, and these things, the bigger the turnout we get, the more of a chance there is to fall on the correct side of history. Because make no mistake about this, Michael, you talk about negative ads, and I'm going to tell you something. I think what we're going to see in the coming months, there's going to be a lot more negativity from both candidates' supporters. And it appears at this time that it will be Trump and Clinton. Now, my dream scenario is that after the convention, Clinton is indicted at that point. That's the one I'm sitting here going, well, I guess it's nice to daydream, and maybe it will come true, but we have to wait and see. But I'm going to say it again, Michael. Turnout.
Everything is turnout. If we can get, we have to encourage one, and I don't want to hear, and anybody who's listening and saying to themselves, well, I don't know, I don't like either side, please don't do that. Make a decision. Go out and vote in November. That's the most important. I want to add only one thing to what you said. I have never seen this many young people, 18 to 30, registering to vote like we've had in Pennsylvania during the last 3 months. It's been historic. We've had a lot of changeovers in the past and all, but these are brand new voters, young people who want to be heard. So that it, all this means something. There's a change in America. A new era has come over. The storm is over. The people are looking for a rainbow. Who will bring the rainbow to them, Larkin?
Good morning, Michael, and Mark, and Rich, and Henry, and to our listeners from sunny San Diego, where yesterday I was on the phone with somebody from Philadelphia who said, I'll bet you it's 60 degrees and sunny out in San Diego. And I said, nope, wrong again. It's 64 degrees and sunny in San Diego. America's most perfect climate. So, gentlemen, well, where are we now in the general national election? The Republican Party and its leader has decided to pull the party together and treat Donald Trump as their presumptive nominee. We still don't know if that dog is going to hunt, but if Mr. Priebus has his way, it probably will. So congratulations to the Republicans. You know what direction they're going in. 11 months ago, 12, 14 months ago, I said on this radio show, I am not convinced that Hillary Clinton is going to be the Democratic nominee. And I want to repeat that comment based simply on the fact that if she is going to be the presumptive Democratic nominee and she does have a huge lead in these committed super ballots, she's got to win something. She's got to stop somewhere and win. And if Bernie Sanders continues to mobilize the 18 to 25-year-old vote the way he has, California is going to be a very interesting Democratic campaign. Bill Clinton's out here today, this morning at 9 o'clock our time, which is 12 o'clock your time. He's supposed to speak not too terribly far from the building that I'm in right now. But it's very interesting. It's very compelling. I've always said local is more important than national. But in this national election, I will represent a little bit of what Michael has said. It's really going to kind of set the temperament for what the next 4 years will look like. It's going to set the course. And it'll be very interesting. I got had a superior thought from a friend of mine very early this morning. He said to me, you know, liberals think that everything should be equal at the finish line. Conservatives think everything should be equal at the start line. Very interesting comment. Probably a little bit of an overstatement, but kind of interesting. So it's that. I would like to also add that I'm out here with SCORE in a brain trust session trying to figure out exactly what it is SCORE is going to do to respond to some very interesting times in the free marketplace right now. 60% of the people being hired today are being hired by small businesses. 50% of the people who are hired and employed in this country right now work for small businesses. Entrepreneurship and startups are down. We are not starting small businesses with the kind of aggressive nature that we've had in the past. They have slowed down appreciably. And what needs to happen, obviously, is a friendlier marketplace, less paranoid bankers and lenders, and our entrepreneur base needs to tighten their belts, muster up and step up to the plate and take a shot at it. So, that's fundamentally where we are, fundamentally where SCORE is as we continue to grow small businesses. The startups have slowed down very mysteriously and very unfortunately.
Very unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, Larkin, so much of what has happened in this election, what's happened in America over the last 7-8 years, is largely caused because there's no money moving in the system. People don't have enough jobs to have their own dignity, and it's become a major problem. At least if they could start up a small business, you know, we would be able to get that horse trading within communities. That's why we always push National Small Business Weekend. And many of the people that I deal with through our daily radio broadcast tell me that efforts like that work because people begin to think, I have to support my local businesses because they're there helping my community to stay vibrant, be alive, and I'm only footsteps away. And people are also learning, Larkin, and that's got to be our next year goal, is urge people looking to be in business to give it a try. Go to places like SCORE to think about how they can really get into the market, because the big businesses are going to have less people working because of robotics and everything else. But there are certain businesses that require people to be there all the time. And that's the kind of businesses you're working on, Mark Larkin.
And, you know, it all has to do with a public temperament. If everybody is frightened to spend, you know, we talk about unemployment being 5% or 6%, maybe it's too high. I prefer to turn around and concentrate on the 95% of people who are working. Maybe not the full-time jobs that they want, and maybe for a little bit less money than they want. But we have money in circulation. People have money. People are afraid to spend money. People are afraid to start businesses. And it's because there is this paranoia in the country that the doom and gloom that, you know, tomorrow is not going to be a better day than today. That's where a presidential candidate, who are ultimately elected, can change that. That's where, when certain people with a pro-business background are elected, Wall Street reacts in a very positive way. Banks react in a very positive way because they know that the overall nature, the overall temperament in this country is going to be higher than it was yesterday and much higher tomorrow.
You are absolutely right, Larkin, and timing is everything. This election, I see that even a lot of the local elections that were less looked upon in the past are now getting more interest. In fact, the primary in Pennsylvania had quite a bit of people come out because they were coming out for Hillary or Trump or Bernie. So the local people also got a lot of extra votes, and that put them on a real sort of skateboard because they didn't know exactly what was going to be happening with the new voters coming out. But it was years and years of not getting the people out, not riling up the voters. But now that they do have empty wallets and bills to be paid, we are seeing a whole different side of the American people. What do you say to that, Mark?
How you doing, Mike? And Rich and Henry and Larkin, I missed you guys last week. It was for a good reason. We were closing Larkin, that ECIDA project, so very interesting. Guys, you talked about so much. I got to admit, I was very, very excited last night with what I seen. And, you know, I let Rich and Larkin handle that political side. But I we need a qualified business leader. And I just talked to somebody right before I went on radio, and she runs a good manufacturing company. But she said if this election don't go right, she's selling out. You know, but the feeling is we're tired. You know, it's funny, this week I got Sue on vacation, and we moved 5 stores in 8 weeks, and we're crazy. I mean, lucky we're young. You know, we're having a ball living the American dream, but it's a lot of work. But I was excited. With Trump being a businessman, he's no dummy. If you run a business, there's absolutely – and boy, do we need, number one, our country fixed, the financials and the money organized and where it's going. You can't just print money every Monday. That would be very easy. I'd have my sister Cheryl do that. Just print money to answer every problem and then say we take care of that later and forget about it. So I'm very excited with these times. Like you said, Mike, Rich, and Larkin, historic times. Great to see the change that Trump really made already by getting people out. I do think there's a lot of lazy people out there. We've got to get out to vote. regardless of who you vote for. You've got to respect that right. I think these next months to come are very, very important. I don't think people and our listeners know how tough shape the economy's in right now, that they're keeping kind of hidden, especially up here in Western New York, and I'm in the oil industry. A lot of people laid off in our area. Probably the toughest times I've been in business in the 26 years, or 30 years, actually. So very tough times, very historic. And I'd like to share with you something. My daughter's 13 years old, and she was doing homework at the table last night. And I said, Jesse, she was doing reading a history book. I said, what are you doing? Oh, we just finished the Cold War. She's going to talk about Vietnam. And I was happy to hear that they were bringing up Vietnam, and I could talk to her a little bit about it. I made a lot of, got a lot of Vietnam friends. But I said, well, you know, if you could vote, Jesse, she's 13 years old, who would you vote for? She goes, well, that's going to take a little time to answer, Dad. I got to think about it. So she's 13. So she comes back to me, well, I'd vote for Donald Trump. I said, why? And she said, because, you know, Obama's more for a specific group of people, and I think, you know, Mr. Trump loves our country and is more for the middle class and for all people. I said, well, what do you think of Hillary? Well, she wants to support all rights, but then at the same time, she's against the Second Amendment and gun rights, so I don't understand. I don't trust her. So I thought that was great out of a 13-year-old, right? But that, you know, Mike, it's historic times. We need change now.
Right
we cannot
now.
Keep going as we're going, especially, Larkin, you say it's tough to get money for these startup businesses. Oh, my God, right? Entrepreneurs, we need entrepreneurs and business people to get going now, but we need the help now. So this is historic. I hope it comes out good in November for us.
Yes, you know, guys, we are really in a new era because the American people are tired of being pushed around. That's the thing. We're tired of being pushed around. We don't know what the bottom line is. I don't remember hearing about the last time we had an actual budget in the USA. We've been operating on continuing resolutions. And where's the balance sheet? Where can we see it? With the internet, we should be able to go log on and see exactly where the money is going.
What? And Mike, we can't keep going blind.
We are going blind. We're
you
going
can't
crazy.
Lead blind. You just can't forget about what you printed yesterday and move on to the next, you know, let's give some money here. You got to realize where it's going and cut back. You got to bring in more than you're giving out.
And we've been paying for things in this country that we don't agree with. As Americans, we don't agree with it. And why are we giving all this money out all over the world when we have to look at our own infrastructure, our own future? We killed some of the job programs in our schools, the trades and the industrial arts. That all has to be restored, and it has to be.
Mike, it's the Americans' money, right? And, you know, Washington's our accounting firm we hired, right? And they're not doing a good job. So what do? You get rid of them.
I think in this campaign, we are going to see real bread and butter issues addressed for the first time. The other campaigns, it was all these personalities trying to outdo each other. But now people are sick and tired of empty wallets being pushed around, not knowing where to go for anything. Jobs, we need 45 million jobs in the country. I hate hearing these lies. Friday, they're going to have a new jobs report, and it's going to say, oh, we created this many jobs. Well, for the record again, last month, in the month of April, 300 million Americans retired. When they announce on Friday how many jobs, new jobs were created, 100% of those jobs were replacing the people that were retiring. So numbers don't lie, but reports from our politicians and the people that they appoint to these offices are really what we're hearing in the news media. And the news media can only give you the facts and figures that are presented by the Labor and Industry Department, and it's one bull after the next. It's time for a new person to come in, clean the slate clean, and start asking questions that the American people want answered.
You know, Michael, it's I've got to step away now. I apologize for having to leave early, but this whole thing comes back to attitude. If you want to create a positive business atmosphere by misrepresenting numbers, that's not a very good way to do things, because nobody gets employed doing that.
if you want to turn the economy around and turn the whole attitude of the country to a can-do attitude, you create an atmosphere that is very, very positive for startups, very positive for small businesses, recognizes and thanks them for what they do because they're the risk takers. They're just like our military. You can count on them day in and day out. They're willing to take the risk, and they need to be rewarded for that.
You're absolutely right.
So with that, I'll step away, and I'll wish you all a very good rest of the program.
Well, we'll depend on you listening to the second half on the rebroadcast when you get it later today. Larkin, as always, thanks for your participation.
Larkin,
and have a good time with SCORE, people.
I will. Thank you, guys.
Have a great day, Larkin.
See you, Larkin.
You know, this is the kind of thing that we have to continue to talk about, urging people to vote, going into stores, looking at labels. When I go around to a number of events, I was at 3 events in the last 5 days, and I will tell you that people, for the first time in their lives, are starting to look at the labels on their clothing, and they're shocked, they're in horror that everything around them. Most people for years and years did not think that that was important until they see the unemployment in this country, the homelessness, the people on unemployment. This is insanity. We cannot be a country. You know, Mark and Rich and all of our listeners, when you do something in life, you expect to at least stay stable and move forward. In America, we were stable and we went down because greed took the jobs overseas. People wanted to say, well, I'll go make more money and bring it over here and sell it in the USA for the same price as if I was paying American workers. Well, we have to sit down and get all this at the table. All parties have to start talking to each other, start negotiating. What are we going to do to end all this nonsense?
Yeah. Hey, Mike, you know, you brought up my grand opening event that we're very proud of and excited. Coming up May 21st, Armed Forces Day. Couldn't be on a better day. Our store is 95%. We're trying to move it as we speak, and everything's coming down. But, you know, the work that we put into this project, 6 years, my wife, our children, my family, my parents, our workers, I couldn't ask for more out of a group of people, and it's been a hard, hard road. But to be up to 7,000 products made in our country, supporting 500 privately owned American businesses, 38 vendors signed up to come in to be set up at our show. We're getting the combat veterans for the country coming. This is going to be a big deal out in Elma, New York, and hopefully the weather's on our side. But it's a statement what good people, great people can do as a team if we work together, not be about the dollar, be about love of country and just caring, a simple idea that's really grown. So, you know, all the listeners are invited. May 21st is a big, big historic day for us out here in Elma, New York with the Made in America store. Made in America matters. Buying Made in America products is the answer to 90% of our problems.
Absolutely. And speaking up where you shop is now becoming the greatest way for managers and owners to call their merchandisers and say, I'm going to lose customers if you don't start getting me more American-made labels in this store. I'm going to lose customers because I can see people are antsy about it. And we want, they keep talking about all these slogans, make America great, you know, support American workers, National Small Business Weekend. As these store owners hear all these things, they're saying, everything has the word America in it.
And Mike, don't forget about my favorite shirt, the Made in America store shirt, because China is a long drive to work.
You know, I want to tell everybody, since you just said that, I encourage everybody to check out Mark Andel's site. Go to the site and you'll see he has some of those shirts. This is the time of year that you'll be using a lot of the T-shirts and all. Go to his store, check him out. Support him in every way that you can because this guy is amazing. Mark, you've been doing this for 6 years. You are unbelievable. I can't compliment you enough.
Well, Mike, it's my team again. I want to say one other thing. We've got so much going on. I want to tell the people, the VA hospitals all have a small canteen store in them. The VA hospitals around our country and in Puerto Rico and Guam, 200 stores took 6 of our top products again. It happened 3 years ago, but right now they release tomorrow the fifth, in all VA hospital stores. And everybody, you don't have to be a veteran to go into a VA hospital store and shop. It's like a mini CVS. But they care and they respect us so much. They took six of our top products. It's big news. I'm releasing it first on your radio show, Mike, because that's the way it should be done. Tomorrow the press release goes out. But remember, any citizen can go to a VA hospital and shop in their stores. Most people don't know that. And you get great prices. But for the VA hospital to respect us, the Made in America store and team, that much is just outstanding. So I want to tell you that, Mike. Tomorrow, 200 VA hospital stores have our top six products in it. Outstanding stuff.
Mark, can you get a listing of all the VA hospitals? And maybe we can make a link on the site.
And I okayed it with them, Mike. A lot of people don't know you didn't have to serve to use their stores. And the more you
I didn't know that myself.
Store,
that's interesting.
Yeah, the more you use them, the more it helps them do good things with their profits they make from the store. And they help veterans. So it's all a win-win-win.
I thought you had to have a military ID to shop there.
Yep, no, you do not.
Interesting.
Yep.
Oh, well, Mark, if you can get a list.
I will.
Those stores, we'll post it on the site. Just put it. Let everybody know. In this state, you can go here and there. Let's get this thing moving in a positive. What we want is positive.
Yeah, veterans love Made in America. They get it, right? I mean, there's no question. It's common sense.
You know, we have, Debbie here from our Veterans Administration. And, it's great. It's disturbing. It's great to see somebody like her, Debbie Derrick's, doing her job here. But the thing is, how can it be that we have this many unemployed veterans and homeless veterans? Now, the unemployed veterans, many of the homeless are just really been, sick and discouraged and have all sorts of difficulties. But a lot of the guys who are unemployed are ready to go tomorrow, and yet there's not enough jobs to employ them. As I said earlier, tomorrow they're going to come out and everybody will clap that we got maybe 180,000 or 200,000 jobs, whatever the number is. But also, guys, everybody listening, spread this message too. Every month of the year, 300,000 Americans retire from the workforce. Many of those people are skilled workers, and we don't have enough people coming out of our institutions, our schools, our colleges, ready to take those jobs. So when they say there are so many jobs created, they're not created. And I'll tell you another reason why. If every month we created 200,000 to 300,000 jobs, think how many new jobs we would have every year. That's not the case. If you look on the debt clock, you'll see that our increase in jobs has been flat and going down. That's because we're not replacing enough people for those retiring. But they want to make it sound good. Politicians, Mark, they love it. Yay, let's clap. We created this many jobs. But then no politician is telling you, I just wanted to let you know that last month, 300,000 retired. Oh, well, then we're at a job loss. And that's the bottom line. Every month we're at a job loss.
Well, Michael, politicians
retire monthly.
Mark, Michael, when was the last time you heard a politician call a press conference to say, I'm here to announce with such joy and happiness that such and such company is moving its operations to China, to Indonesia, to Mexico, wherever it is? Look, the fact is, commerce is a global thing. And, Mark, you said just now, Puerto Rico, Guam. Now, I know people say, well, that's, American territories, and I got it. But when I went to Poland last year, Michael, I'm going to tell you, I saw Made in America stuff. I saw Made in America items. And I saw, now, where exactly in the country they were made, I'm not sure, but I know that they had a label, Made in USA. And they were the same mark, high-quality goods that were used to here. So when we talk about startups and businesses, I would ask Larkin, and I don't know the numbers on this, but I bet that the more people who get back to work, the more startup small businesses you'll have, whatever the size of them. Maybe it's a one-man, one-woman operation, Maybe it's a store with 5, 10, 15 people in it. I bet you that it happens, Michael.
It is happening.
Because you want to get, you want to help small business, you want to get small businesses started, it starts with people having a little more confidence and assurance that they've got a weekly paycheck coming in. I know that a lot of people, and I'm not saying this critically, but I know a lot of people aren't as nutty as Mark is. I mean, Mark is a bona fide wacko when it comes to this, which is good, Mark, which I say to you with all of the respect and humility that I can muster to you, because Mark is a person who is, I don't know how I would exactly, I mean, you're like a local, to me, Mark, you're like a local superhero, you know, going big. And, you know, I'm just waiting for when Mark's going to walk around with a little red cape on the back, you know, and we can finally put a big A on his chest, you know. A, you know, A for Andel in America. So I know the majority of the country is not like that. But the majority of the country, Michael, they want to get to work. You know, they want to get to work. And a lot of those who want to get to work, they want to start up a business. Again, I don't care if it's something they do on the weekend. But it's always about credibility. And it's credibility and it's confidence. And we look at these elected positions and we look at people and say, I'm not saying the economy is the only issue you should ever focus on, but it's always been our, it should be our big one. It should be our big one, because that, you start getting that in order, it's going to start taking care of our other ills.
Rick,
and you're looking at these positions. I look at them, Mark, like, you know, we're interviewing for a job and we're going to select a person to do a job. So who's the person? And all elections, Michael, that we'd say, come in and say, okay, who's going to be the person who can strike that balance between creating confidence and then, for the most part, staying out of the way of businesses? It's a tough balance to strike. It's imperfect. Sometimes, you know, people have they're well-intended and it doesn't work out that way. I understand that. But government is not the end-all, be-all. It is, however, the legislative entities that we have, state, local, and national, that can help to create that confidence.
Absolutely. They can help to discuss ways to reduce those corporate taxes.
And I just think it's funny. I just want to say, I think it's funny to listen to the very anti-Trump people talk about how Trump is doing well based on his personality, when the anti-Trump people, they vote for the party of Hollywood, which is, you know, make-believe. So I think it's just, it's sort of funny and ironic to listen to people say that somebody's doing well because of his personality, which I look at these people and I say, and?
That's right.
You know, I look at them like, well, what exactly is your issue then?
The country needs a new cheerleader, is what everybody is saying.
Trump is doing well. And again, Michael, I sit here, an idiot in South Florida. I scratch my head. I'm listening to some of these guys last night, and I'm sitting there going, are they that out of touch, or are they that in denial, or are they that just indifferent and ignorant to their end-user market? Or maybe it's all the above, because as I see it, the rise of this candidate with the supporters is because of a very, very accessible message. Very simple and accessible. Not simple because it lacks substance. It's simple and accessible, which is what? At this time in our history, we've been a generous country, Michael. We have been generous. We have been more generous than any country that has ever existed in the history of this world. We've gone to other nations, perhaps well-intended, and it hasn't worked to bring democracy, to bring free markets. And we've been rejected, because we've gone into societies that have been in conflict from the very first day that they ever existed. And we went in thinking, you know what, maybe we can bring democracy. Maybe we can bring a free market. And it hasn't worked. We've been more than generous. We've put our men and women of our military into other nations, which have known nothing but hostility and violence from the moment that we have recorded history. and we've put our men and women, our brave servicemen and women in those countries to say we are going there to bring them, and it hasn't worked. Not through the fault of our military, Mark. We have been more generous than any country. You add up the rest of the world, Michael, and they don't come close to us. But you know what? Times are changing.
Absolutely.
Times need to change. You see, the time needs to change. You must. I'm going to use the word not in a racial or religious way. You must discriminate to preserve, to conserve. You must. And right now, if we want to do good for the rest of the world, it starts with us having credibility. And that's what is rising. That is what's caused the rise of all of this. We've been more than generous. We've been very, we've had our hands out. But you know what? It's time for a new policy, Michael. And I've said it on this show before, and if I may, I'll say it again. The new policy of America needs to be this. Don't call us. We'll call you.
Hey, Rich, one of my other shirts that I happen to have on today was America, Love It or Leave It. You know, and it's a Iwo Jima statue on the back. You know, America is America, and we want it to be America, and you should want it to be America. That's our team, right? God bless the rest of the world. We want to stay America. I just, you know, we need that leader that'll make and give Washington respect again, where people trust it, run their lives. Let's rebuild the American dream. Let's get things where it's trusted. We got to get the can-do spirit back so we have confidence. Once you get the confidence going, the whole flywheel starts spinning. You're going to get, like you said, entrepreneurs and businesses, people feeling decent, wanting to grow. When you get factories back, all these side entrepreneurs and businesses come from that factory. It's that ripple effect. So this is historic. You know, just watch it. It's only May. But I think enough Americans, true Americans, are coming out, and I think that's important. I love America. I mean, there should be no question with people that know me. I did the Made in America story because I love America, period.
And what's given rise, Mark? You know, the Republic. We've watched the Republican Party in the last 89 months since Barack Obama got elected put out people. You know, yeah, they said it, America first. Yeah, they said it. But it was always like with a whimper. It was always like, oh, America first. And I just want to be clear for our listeners, Michael. I use the word discriminate. I want to be clear. I am not. I have never, ever said a discriminatory racist word in my entire life, ever. And I don't mean discriminate because of race or religion or any of gender, any of these things. What I'm talking about is it's like business, Michael. In sales, you have to qualify your prospects. Mark, you discriminate against how many products on a day in and day out basis because they ain't made in America. You have to qualify. To preserve. You have to. This is not a theory. This is not an opinion. You must. And at this time right now, yes. Yes, of course we want to be strong for the world. Absolutely, Michael. I do agree that the stronger the country is, the better chance there is for peace through strength around the world.
That's a very good point, Rich. Oh, man, that's a good point.
But the time is now. The time is now to say, you know what? We got to get focused on what's happening in this country. America first has been the message that has given rise to the Republican frontrunner. And again, for the Republicans, Michael, who were mad, my question to them, with all due respect, why did it take Donald Trump to get people interested in your party?
That's exactly right.
Why did it take this guy to get people interested in your party?
And why did it take Bernie Sanders to bring attention to the fact that the Democrats also need to do some soul searching?
And well, guys, I think a lot of political people are worried. They're lazy, and they're going to have to go pull their own weight.
No, but the Democratic Party's gone, Michael. They can't be salvaged. They can't be. I'm not even talking about Bernie Sanders. They can't be saved. They can't be salvaged. The Republican Party is the party that has the opportunity right now. The Democratic Party, despite, you know, me and Larkin have this perhaps disagreement, which is fine. I know he's not here, but I listen to many people say that they don't have markets cornered. I hear people say, well, Clinton's negatives are high and she's a flawed candidate. All of that's true, Michael. All of it is true. But you know what? What difference does it make when you have markets cornered? And again, the other candidate in all of this is a person who has proven, the proof is in the turnout. Me and Larkin will agree on this point. Of course we want the turnout to be higher. But that's why we got to rally to November. The other person is getting the turnout, getting the people to come out to vote, many of whom haven't voted, Mark, in years. They haven't voted in years, and now they're starting to say, you know what? Maybe I actually should pay attention to this.
Rich, I hear that every day.
Every day, you hear people that are voting. I haven't voted in two elections.
Awesome.
When I came out, I changed my registration, I'm voting.
And a lot of young voters, too. This is another, because as they are tallying the new voters' registration forms, they say, wow, we've never had this many people in this category, you know, come forward or change their party in this category. So people really got the message that we have to restore jobs, we have to manufacture, distribute, and sell the items that the American people most use that have an American-made label, at least 50%. Can you imagine, Mark, if you went into some of your stores near you, can you imagine if you could find 50% American-made in their stores? It would be unbelievable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right now,
Michael,
and by the way,
Mike, if I could just say, if you guys want, our listeners want some real quick evidence that the Democratic Party's gone, just look at how they treated Jim Webb. Everyone's like, who? Remember that first guy in the debate who spoke for 8 seconds? Hi, I'm Jim Webb. Thanks, Jim, for coming. Nice seeing you. Remember that guy?
How about Chafee?
Why was he run off the stage? I mean, that guy was run off the stage because he said things like, well, all lives matter. No, I am a Second Amendment advocate. That guy was run off. I mean, that guy looks like a right-wing conservative to say those things. Okay, I mean, that guy was... So, there's no more evidence that's needed. And again, Michael, I'm going to say a point that I brought up before. Remember when, like, communism was like an underground thing? It was like underground. Like all the hippie druggies in California, like they all got together and, you know, had their little, you know, like you all knew it was around, but it was like underground. Now it's mainstream.
Yep.
And it's packaged as, let's vote for a woman to make history. I'm not, none of this, if I may speak for all of us for a moment, I don't like to do this. None of us are against casting a vote for a woman.
Absolutely.
Whatsoever.
Not.
But again, look at how the narrative, Michael, is spun. Because when it gets into the mainstream, that means it's in places like schools and universities and Hollywood and media and social media. That's where all the youth's at.
Yep.
That's where all the young people are.
As we said last week, I would love to see 5 Donald Trump-type people on both sides of the aisle.
But, Michael, that's up to the electorate.
That's right.
This is the residual. See, what you're saying right there is a good point, because this is the potential residual effect of the candidacy of Trump. And listen, again, Trump's a flawed candidate. He's not a perfect candidate. To his credit, I think he's gotten better on a lot of the things that people had concerns about. But yes, there's still work to do. So yes, he's flawed. He's imperfect. That shouldn't be the standard upon which we elect people. You know, nobody is perfect, and people do have flaws and sometimes inconsistencies in these things. The difference between Trump and the presumed Democratic front runner is that her entire political career has been one huge lie and flip-flop. Michael, everybody changes their minds on certain issues. Everybody does. It's a difference when you make a career out of it. See, that's the difference.
Well, I think when the debates come up, Rich, we're going to hear all of it, and we're going to see all of it. And by the way, Hillary, as well as all the people in Congress and the present president and past presidents, everybody saw that America was going down the drain, that our products were being lost for 25 years. If we saw it as America's consumers, national leaders certainly saw it and did nothing about it.
But that's up to the electorate, Michael, to determine, because if Donald Trump wins this election and the highest elected position in this country goes to a person like him with his rhetoric and his message, the Republican Party would be very, very wise to say, we probably should think about nominating candidates who are, again, your own man or woman, but if they're going to put out men and women who just give whimpers around the rest of the country, whether it's national or state or local, if they're going to just put these whimper candidates out, the loser candidates out, people are going to say, nah, we reject it.
I think through this election, what is really happening is the old guard network is dying. The silent majority is coming forth to say, we're not going to take this crap anymore. It can't continue. And that's the bottom line. We've seen so many people come out like I've never seen. Young people, older people, middle-aged, unemployed, small business people. Everybody wants a shakeup. We're going to see. Nobody can predict what's going to happen in November, but I think from now till November, we're going to see some real hot action. And as far as those pundits and all that we see on TV, the problem with them, Rich, is they really don't go out amongst the people to see what's going on. They have a job on TV. They go on. They give their analysis and all. If some of them would come down out of the ivory tower and go into places in Buffalo, in Philadelphia, in New Jersey, I think they would have a whole different perspective of what's on the minds of the American people.
Yeah, Michael, I just think, guys, to me, in my mind, I'll leave with this fact, the lesser of two evils needs a facelift. And I'm not talking none of that South Philly stuff. I'm talking about that Miami stuff, that good Miami stuff. Okay, that good Miami plastic surgery where you got women around here who look like the Catwoman. That's what I'm talking about, that stuff. So, Mark, I just think, again, guys, this is a time. This is a historic. Wow, we're living it. We're living in a time, I believe, that are going to be, it's going to be talked about in the history books.
And you know what's great about it, I have to say, as we go to closing remarks, I'm really proud that you, Rich, and Mark, and Larkin, and Henry have been a part of this for several years. We're really shaking the cage up a little bit because voices like ours are starting to become more listened to by the regular general public. I think positive changes are happening, and the people want something new. They don't care about all this rigmarole, all these pundits and all, and analyzing what's going to happen in November. Nobody knows what could happen between now and November. Let's work for a positive change. Mark, what closing remarks do you have to offer today?
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Mike, for believing, having this show and having us part of it in these historic times. Again, you know, our listeners, thanks for believing. Go out tonight, buy Made in America products. It matters. It's an action plan. And vote. You know, have a great week. And thanks for having me on, Mike.
And make sure you check out Mark's store on the internet. Go to madeinamericastore.com. And Rich, what do you have as closing remarks?
Thank you, guys. Just want to say, regardless of if you still have a state coming up for a primary, don't listen to the polls. Don't listen to presumptive nominee. Come out and vote no matter what.
My thanks to all of you. Thanks to Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer. Thanks again, Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel. I'm Michael Blihash. Until this Saturday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Remember, this Friday, next Saturday, and Sunday is National Small Business Weekend. When you're out shopping for mom, check out the label and make sure you buy something made in the USA.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, everyone.